We start with the peace chant. This is in the Universal Prayers, page 172-173. Top of the page 172-173, passage number 217. This stanza is from the well-known devotional hymn called Shiva Mahimna Stotram. Shiva Mahimna Stotram. Mahima means the glory. Stotram means the hymn. A hymn describing the glory of Lord Shiva, composed by a famous poet saint, Pushpadanta. So this is one stanza. Om Asitagiri samam syat kajjalam sindhu patre surataru varashakha lekhani patramurvi likhati yadi grihitva sharada sarvakalam tadapitava gunanam ishaparam nayati. If the goddess of learning herself were to write eternally, having the biggest branch of the celestial tree for her pen, the whole earth for the writing surface, the blue mountain for ink, and the ocean for the ink pot, even then, O Lord, thy attributes cannot be fully described. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts. Adhyatmika Shanti. May there be peace among all beings. Adibhautika Shanti. May there be peace in the whole of nature. Adi Daivika Shanti. The topic for this morning's study is a devotee's renunciation. So we'll try to understand how renunciation is practiced or can be practiced by devotees, as opposed to how it is practiced by jnanis, those who follow the path of inquiry, and those who follow the path of karma, the path of selfless action, and those who follow the path of Raja Yoga, meditation, Patanjali's 8-step yoga. Renunciation is the key for all spiritual practice. There is no spiritual life without renunciation. But the word renunciation engenders in our minds, produces in our minds a feeling of apprehension and misapprehension, a feeling of fear and misunderstanding. Renunciation means we have to give up everything. Many times in the gospel, devotees of Sri Ramakrishna asked him, "Sir, do we have to give up everything?" Because every day, Sri Ramakrishna would always repeat this one instruction, give up kamini kanchana, lust and greed. That means everything. How is it possible? Do we have to? Can we not realize God without having to give up everything that we have? That question came up several times. Sri Ramakrishna said, you don't have to. But we also know that without detachment, without renunciation, we cannot reach God. We can either pursue worldly pleasures, worldly success, fame, or you can pursue God. You cannot serve both masters at the same time. So how then can we practice renunciation? You will understand that one. But first of all, a few words about devotion. when we talk of devotion, we keep in mind what Sri Ramakrishna referred to as pure devotion, prema, shuddha bhakti, prema bhakti, raga bhakti, not routine ordinary devotion which all of us have. We have devotion. But ordinarily, our devotion, which is called vaidhi bhakti, is invariably tainted with an element of desire and sometimes fear also. You worship God, no doubt, we all worship God in our own ways. But there is a motive behind our worship. We want something from God. Very few people really only God want, nothing else. But we want some of the gifts that God can give. God can give everything. He is the Kalpataru, he is the wish-fulfilling tree. So if you worship him, then he will grant us what we need. He will fulfill our prayers. With that idea in mind, we worship God. That is ordinary devotion. Many of you know from the study of the Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, where Sri Krishna says, 4 kinds of people worship me with 4 different motivations. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritina urjana. For whatever reason they worship me, the Lord says, they are doing the right thing. Sukritina, they are doing good to worship God. Even if you ask God for something routine, still it is good to worship God because we are going to God. What are the 4 kinds of people who worship God ordinarily? Now we are describing ordinary devotion, which most of us, all of us have. We pray to God. First of all, a person who is in distress, some kind of problem, health problem, family problem, job problem, children problem, parent problem, spouse problem, financial problem, visa problem. You remember Visa Venkateshwara? So we have some problem and we want God's help to become free from that problem. We pray to God. Oh Lord, I have this problem. Please make me free from it. Remove this problem. Such a prayer is called Artha's prayer. Artha. Arthi means difficulty, adversity, suffering. Then there are other people who don't necessarily have any problem, but they want something which they do not have. There is some emptiness, there is some gap in a person's life. I want this, but I don't have it. If I get it, if God grants me that, what is missing from my life will be happier, fuller, better. That is artha arthi. Artha means any object that we don't have that we want to pursue, that we want to get. Artha also means money. So a person who is in need of a job, a jobless person, prays to God, please give me a job. He needs a job. Otherwise, how does he pay the bills? It's the most important thing, to get a job. A person who doesn't have a home, he likes to have a place to stay. Like that, something is missing. A person who believes that family life will bring happiness, he wants to marry, so he wants a beautiful spouse. So there are all kinds of worships with different motivations. Taking something which you don't have, thinking that if that missing thing is supplied by the grace of God, I will be happy. Life will be fuller, better. That is second kind of motivation. Artharthi. Artha jignas. Artharthi. Third kind of person who worships God does not want any of these things. He wants only knowledge of God. He wants to know God. Oh Lord, reveal thy true nature to me. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to realize you. Seeking knowledge of God. That is also seeking. So that is another motivation. Jignyasu. 3. Then there is the 4th kind of person who worships God, not seeking anything. Just out of sheer love for God, he worships God. Because what is devotion? Devotion is supreme love for God, intense love for God, with no motivation, not prompted by any desire, seeking something from God. and not motivated by any fear, no fear, no desire, just out of sheer love. God is the most adorable thing, the greatest thing. I want God only, nothing else. Such a person also worships God. So Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, of these four kinds of people, though all of them are good, all of them are doing the right thing because they are worshipping God. Even for whatever reason you worship God, you are worshipping God, that in itself is a good thing. That's the right thing to do. But that person who worships God, seeking nothing, but only out of pure love, such a person is dearest to me. Actually, he is same as me, he says. Jnane tvatmaiva me matam. So that is ordinary devotion. In the Narada's devotional aphorisms, Narada describes devotion as sato asmin parama prema swarupa. Devotion means supreme, intense, exclusive devotion to God, love for God. Not seeking anything from God, not using God as a source of something, but God, only God, nothing else, not his gifts. That is pure devotion. A person who has such a devotion, he is a true devotee. Then what about others who seek God, same thing, we seek from God? We also are devotees. But we have to gradually stop seeking something from God. That will happen in course of time. It's okay to seek now, where we are now. But gradually what happens, as our devotion becomes more intense, purer, stronger, and exclusive, then our tendency to ask something from God will drop away by itself. After some time, we ask ourselves, last time when I became sick, I was asking God to cure my sickness. Now, this time, again, if I become sick, I'm not going to ask. Does he not know that I am sick? Do I have to remind him? Many, many times the Lord has promised again and again that he will take care of the devotees. He will provide what is necessary. He will protect what is necessary. I don't have to remind him. He knows what is best for me. Even suffering is also a kind of blessing. It's a grace of God. With that attitude, no seeking at all. Accepting everything as God's will and surrendering our whole life, everything to him, and simply cultivating pure love for God, such a person has pure devotion to God. Pure devotion is unconditional love for God, not depending upon something good happening to me. Some people pray to God with some prayer, and if that prayer is not fulfilled, they lose faith in God. I prayed so much, but he didn't listen to my prayers. So what good is my prayer? So they will lose faith in God. That is not true devotion. True devotion is unconditional love for God. When such a devotion a person has, then there is no desire left in that person's mind. Renunciation, question of renunciation comes when there is desire in our mind. If there is no desire, what is there to renounce? With whatever he gives, I am happy as it is. I am not seeking any change in circumstances. So what is there to seek? No seeking. If there is no seeking, then there is no need to renounce anything. There is nothing that I hold on to, that I cling to. Such a devotion is described in this way by Narada in his devotional aphorisms. Yat prapya nakinchid vanchati, nashochati, nadveshti, naramate, notsahi bhavati. Yat prapya. If a person has this kind of purest devotion, highest kind of devotion, what Sri Ramakrishna called raga bhakti or prema, such a person has nothing to seek, nothing to acquire, nothing to give up. Question of renunciation does not even arise. What to renounce? I left everything to him. My whole life is offered to him. So there is nothing that I am seeking. There is nothing that I have to give up. With whatever he gives, I'll be happy. So that's there Narada says, by practicing this kind of pure devotion, nakinchid vanchati, vancha means there is no desire left. What to desire? He knows what I need. And before I ask, without my asking, he will provide what I need. So what is there for me to ask? With whatever he gives, I am happy. Nothing to ask, nothing to give up. Nakinchid vanchati, na shochati. If something is lost, that person does not become unhappy. If I have something that I hold dear to me, money or house or position or something that I want to have, supposing it is lost, then I become very unhappy. But a true devotee does not become unhappy when something is taken away from him. Na kinchid na shochati. Because the Lord knows what I need. And that was not mine to begin with in the first place. Whatever I call my house, my money, my property, my child, my wife, my husband, my spouse, my body, these things which you call mine, they were not mine at all to begin with. He gave these gifts to me, and I was only a temporary custodian manager. They were in my possession, in my name, but they were never really mine. He gave it to me because I wanted. When he deems it right, he takes it back and I'm happy. I've done my part. As a custodian, as a manager, as a servant, as a caretaker, I have taken good care of all the things that he had given to me, including the body. And when he takes it away, he took it. He gave it, he took it back. Rama gave, Rama took back. I'm free, I'm relieved. With a great sense of joy and relief, we remain unperturbed when something that we have goes away from us, taken away from us. Na kinchit, na sochati, na dveshti. No hatred, of course, that is the first quality of a devotee. Many of you are studying Bhagavad Gita. In the 12th chapter, there are 7 verses, beginning from verse 13 to 19, 7 verses. Where Sri Krishna describes a number of qualities of a true devotee of God. Who is a true devotee of God? A person who has these and these qualities, he can be a devotee of God. What is the first quality he mentions? Adveshta sarvabhutanam. If a person has devotion to God, such a person cannot hate anything or anybody. No hatred, no trace of element in that person's heart. How can there be? Everything is God. How can I hate anything or anybody? Everything is he alone. That is first quality. So that Narada also says, nadveshti, no hatred in a devotee's heart. Naramate, not taking extreme delight in some things. Supposing something that we like very much is given to us, then we are delighted. Exaltation comes. Joy comes. Celebration comes. That's okay. Because anything that is not present now, anything that comes, is also going to go away from me. I'm ready for that. So no undue exaltation, celebration, joy, jumping up and down. That is not there in the heart of a devotee. It's all sense of pure devotion. And if you have this, there's no question of renouncing. What to renounce? You don't have anything to renounce. Dharamate Nuatsahi Bhavati does not become excited about many things. When Super Bowl comes or Oscar something nomination comes, people become excited days before the celebration, before the event. Because they have their favorite candidate or a team. And if their favorite team or candidate wins, if their celebrity they like gets an Oscar prize award, and if their team wins, oh, they are so happy. Celebration. Celebration in a rajasic way, drinking this and that and going on a rampage because they are happy. Such a thing does not happen for a true devotee. Everything is his play. What is there to lose? What is there to win? Everything is his play. That evenness of mind, that calmness of mind is the hallmark of true devotion. Then, I'm going to read a passage from Swami Vivekananda's lecture on bhakti, devotion, which he gave in Sialkot, Punjab. Some persons worship God for the sake of obtaining wealth, others because they want to have a son, and they think themselves Bhagavatas, devotees. There is no bhakti and they are not true Bhagavatas. When a sadhu comes who professes that he can make gold, they run to him and they still consider themselves Bhagavats. Bhagavata means devotee of God. It is not bhakti if you worship God with the desire for a son. It is not bhakti if you worship God with the desire to be rich. It is not bhakti even if you have desire for heaven. It is not bhakti if a man worships God with the desire for being saved from tortures of hell. Bhakti is not the outcome of fear or greediness. He is the true Bhagavata. Swamiji quotes this verse. He is the true Bhagavata who says, O God, I do not want a beautiful wife. I do not want knowledge, scholarship, or salvation. Let me be born and die hundreds of times. What I want is that I should ever be engaged in thy service. This is a free translation of a stanza from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtakam, 8 stanzas of instruction, which has come many times. Swamiji just translates it in a free way. There Chaitanya says, who is a true devotee of God? A true devotee of God is one who seeks nothing from God, only love for God. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, ma jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware, bhavatat bhakti rahetu ki twayi. In all my births, in this birth, and if I have to take more births in the future, in all those births, may I have only pure devotion to the lotus feet. Unmotivated pure devotion, not associated with any desire or fear, may I have that kind of pure devotion. That's the only thing I ask from God, nothing else. Not a beautiful spouse, not a position, not power, not power, not money, no scholarship, nothing. That is the sign of pure devotion, and that is renunciation, not seeking anything. A man loves God only when he has no other desire, when he is mad after God. That is renunciation of a devotee, not seeking anything. Then, renunciation is not dereliction of duty. Some people want to escape from the vicissitudes of life, family problem. If you have a family, you have to support the family, pay bills and take care of children, education, health care, go to work every day, work long hours. To escape all these things, they'll say, I will practice renunciation. They want to run away. That way they don't have to worry. So one such thing, incident happened in the, you all have read in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Renunciation is not inability or unwillingness to perform our duties. There was a gentleman whose name is not known. He was Pratap's brother. Pratap's brother, Sri Ramakrishna says to him in the second meeting, Pratap's brother goes to Sri Ramakrishna in Dakshineshwar one day. And Pratap's brother asks Sri Ramakrishna's permission to stay at the Kali temple where Sri Ramakrishna was staying. And Sri Ramakrishna asked him, what will you do? Why would you want to stay here? He says, Thakur, I want to stay here and full-time meditate on God. He said that. Then Sri Ramakrishna asked him, what about your family? He had a wife and several children. And Sri Ramakrishna asked him, who will take care of your family when you come here and stay here and meditate full time? Pratap's brother says, already I have sent them to my father-in-law's house. My father-in-law is taking care of them. This is not renunciation. Sri Ramakrishna scolded him, rebuked him, say, first of all, go back, bring your wife and children from your father-in-law's house. You married, you had children, and you want your father-in-law to take care of your wife and children? Bring them back, get a job, take care of them, then you pray to God. Performance of duties is necessary for a devotee. Dereliction of duties is not renunciation. Giving up activities is not renunciation. Renunciation is also not giving up certain things like coffee and tea and all those things. That is not the essence of renunciation. Sri Ramakrishna says, some simple desires like that, they are not the obstructions. Renunciation means giving up desire for enjoyment, kamini kanchana, greed and lust. Those are the two things we have to renounce. Renunciation is the foundation of all spiritual practices. Jnana yogis, those who follow the path of inquiry, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am the self, I am Brahmasmi, they have to follow renunciation. People who follow the path of karma yoga, they have to follow renunciation. You have to give up the fruits of actions, attachment to work and its results. Devotees who follow the path of Raja Yoga, meditation, they have to practice renunciation, pratyahara. And those who seek God through the path of devotion, they also have to practice renunciation. The repetition of names of rituals, I'm reading a passage from Swamiji's lecture, Swami Vivekananda's lecture, the preparatory renunciation in Bhakti Yoga book. There he says, practice of renunciation, inward renunciation, internal detachment, is the greatest purifier and the most important requirement for success in spiritual life. No matter how many pilgrimages we undertake, how much charities we do, how many times we repeat God's name, we may do all those things. But if we don't have inward detachment, then those things don't bear fruit. Detachment or renunciation is the key to success in any path leading to spiritual realization. Describing that, Swamiji says this in his lecture. The repetition of names, the rituals, the forms, and the symbols, all these various things are for the purification of the soul. The greater purifier among all such things is a purifier without which no one can enter the regions of this higher devotion, parabhakti, is renunciation. Devotion cannot be attained. Knowledge of self cannot be attained. Nothing can be attained unless we practice renunciation. Sri Ramakrishna makes it simpler. Renunciation, he says, can be done in two ways. Internal, inward renunciation, which is required for everybody, and external renunciation, which is required for certain people. External renunciation means a person can have property, money, family, job, everything that person can have, but inwardly that person should think, none of this is mine. Although I am temporarily in charge of these things, this house is in my name, the job, I am the worker in this office, I am the president of this department, of this company, I have this family, these are my children. They can say all these things, keep all these things. But inwardly, a person should definitely know that none of these things is his or hers. It's all the Lord's. He's the owner of the whole universe. Everything I have belongs to him. I also belong to him. But for ordinary business transaction purposes, I can say my house, my car, my money, my child, my job. We can say those things. But inwardly, we should remain totally detached. That is inward renunciation. Everybody has to have this one. Householders and monks and everybody. But for monks, even external renunciation is necessary. We should not even keep all those things. Minimum, barest minimum necessities only have to be kept. Nothing more than that. That is outward renunciation plus inward renunciation. To describe this, Swami Vivekananda says, renunciation is the greatest purifier that purifies the mind, makes it free from all attachments, and takes us close to the doors of God. So he says, the greater purifier among all such things, a purifier without which no one can reach, can enter the regions of this higher devotion, parabhakti, is renunciation. This frightens many, yet without it, there cannot be any spiritual growth. In all our yoga, this renunciation is necessary. This is the stepping stone and the real center and the real heart of all spiritual culture. Renunciation, that is religion. Renunciation, this is religion. Renunciation. Then, we'll see how a karma yogi practices renunciation. Karma yoga is the path of selfless action. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has mentioned that by practicing the path of karma yoga, performing all our actions as offering without detachment, without attachment to action or its result of action, mind becomes pure and we can reach the goal of realization. That is path of karma yoga. How does the karma yoga practice renunciation? That is very simple. The karma yogi's renunciation is in the shape of giving up all fruits of his action. He is not attached to the results of his labor. He does not care for any reward here or hereafter. When we do some work, we should not expect anything in terms of personal benefit for oneself. Good may happen. May good happen from the, I'm doing this action. May good happen. But I'm not doing it primarily to gain something for me. When we are required to do some work, we should not ask the question, what is in it for me? That should not be the motivation. Can something good happen from this work? Is this work necessary? It is to be done. And I am happy to do it. Earlier I have said that when an opportunity presents itself to, for us to do some work, we should welcome it because work is a privilege. Work is a privilege. Why it is a privilege? The opportunity to do some work and the ability to do that work, they are both very precious gifts. We don't appreciate because we seem to have both of them. A lot of work to do. We complain, so much work I have to do. And we have ability to do work, so we don't complain. But if one of them is taken away, then we know the precious, how precious that gift was. You don't generally appreciate something which you already have. We appreciate it when it is separated from us. Same thing about work. When some opportunity to do some work comes, we should welcome it as a gift, as an opportunity to serve the Lord, as an opportunity for spiritual growth, as a privilege. Because He has chosen me to do this work. This work can be done by thousands of other better people who could do this much better than I can do. But that I have been put in this place, that I have been chosen as His instrument to get this work done, is my great benefit, my privilege, my gift, this grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that we get some opportunity to do some work. You should be welcome that way. That is the way karma yogi practices renunciation. He welcomes all work and does it in a selfless manner, offers the fruits of work to the Lord. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this work. I've done it. Please accept it as my offering, as my worship. Now what you do with it is up to you. I've done my part. That is renunciation of a karma yogi. In the Bhagavad Gita, we have studied several times how the karma yogi practices renunciation. There are so many places in the Gita where Sri Krishna talks about renunciation of a karma yogi. But I would like to point out one verse in the Gita, chapter 3, verse number 30. It has five instructions, 3:30. There Sri Krishna says, whenever you do some work, offer it to me. How to offer work to God? Not in a physical sense, mentally. Chetasa sarva karmani maya sanyasya. Chetasa means mentally. In our mind, we should say, oh Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to do this work. I'll do it. And please accept it as my offering, as my humble offering, as my expression of my love. Offering something to God, whether it is your work or Something that we offer in the worship, a pair of garments, or bananas, or fruits, or sweets, or whatever we offer, what does that offering mean? Not to fulfill his need. He does not want these things. He is not depending upon all our almonds and raisins and chocolates and bananas. He has everything. He's the Lord of the whole universe. What can we offer to him? But when I say I'm offering this to God, it means I am giving up my attachment to that thing that I have offered. I'm no longer, it's no longer mine. It's up to him. That is detachment. I offer all my work to God as an offering to him. May sarvani karmani sanyasyam, chapter 3, verse 30. Second attitude of a karma yogi, second way karma yogi practice detachment is to do all work as service, as a servant, lovingly serves the Lord, thanking for the opportunity to serve. I'm doing it as his servant. This activity which I'm doing right now is my humble service, and I thank him for giving me this opportunity to do this work, offering everything as a service, as a servant. Ideally, who is a servant? Hanuman is the ideal servant. Hanuman is the ideal servant. With great devotion, he served Sri Rama. If you see Sri Rama's picture, Hanuman is seated in a particular posture with his left foot on the ground and the right knee on the ground. Notice that one in Rama pictures? It's called Virasana. That means Hanuman is ready to spring into action the moment some need arises for service, even before Sri Ramakrishna expresses it in words. A true servant is one who anticipates the needs of the master without waiting for the master to ask him to do something. Before it is expressed, a servant should know what is to be done next and springs into action, does it with great joy, devotion, no matter what is involved. How much difficulty is involved, he does not think about those things. Thankfully, joyfully, with great joy and devotion, a servant does service his Lord. That is Adhyatma Chetasa. May Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya Adhyatma Chetasa. As a servant serves his beloved Lord. Nirashi Bhutva. Without expecting anything in return for oneself from that work. If something good comes, we accept it. If you go to work and work for 4 weeks or 1 month, you get a paycheck, you don't throw the paycheck, you take the paycheck, you use it. That is good, that is the gift of the Lord. But I'm not doing it only for that, I'm doing it as an opportunity, as a service to the Lord. That is the higher motive, purer motive. Nirashi Bhutva, not expecting anything in terms of personal glory, fame. I'm doing this, I must become famous, seeking more visibility, promotion. No, whatever comes, I accept it. I'm not going to reject it, but I'm not doing it only for gain something. Nirmamo Bhutva. Mama means mine, giving up the notion of mine. Nothing is mine. What is mine? We label so many things as mine. My house, my child, my body, my job, my position, nothing is mine. If you spend a few minutes thinking about this question, what is really mine? We'll find there's nothing that I can really call mine. Because nothing came with me, nothing goes with me. Nothing is mine. So all belongs to him. He's a Lord. He's owner of everything. I also belong to him. Nirmama Bhutva, not saying my work, I should get the result. But it is his service. I'm offering it to him, not seeking anything in return. Fourth one. Fifth instruction is Yudhyasva Vigata Jaraha. Jara means fever. Fever here means without much stress or tension or anxiety about the outcome. Do the best you can and leave the rest. Some years ago, I gave a Sunday talk. The title of the talk was Do the best and leave the rest. That's what Sri Krishna is saying. The best we can do, any work that comes to our Lord, we do it in the best possible way we can, with devotion, with joy, with enthusiasm, and then leave the rest. The result is not up to me, it's up to him. When he gives something to somebody, we no longer any more ownership right of it. It is his. What he does with it, success or failure or whatever, up to him. I have nothing to do with it. That is detachment of a karma yogi. Now the Raja Yogi is renunciation. The Raja Yogi goes through the rigorous disciplines of the 8 disciplines. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhana, Samadhi that we have studied. When some of you study Raja Yoga, Swamiji's Raja Yoga, some time ago with Swami Atmagyananda Ji in the Tuesday morning class, I think. We studied all the 8 steps. A Raja Yogi goes through all these 8 disciplines and practices renunciation by actually giving up attachment to sense objects, pratyahara, withdrawing the mind and the sense organs from their natural tendency to go and seek contact with sense objects. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I eat this, I'll be happy. If I do this, I'll be happy. Seeking happiness through sense objects. That tendency is to be given up by the Raja Yogi. Everybody has to give it up. Pratyahara. That's how he does it. One. And eventually, the Raja Yogi realizes that the soul as a spirit is ever separate and independent of nature or matter. Through the 8-step disciplines, this experience that the soul is pure, pure consciousness, is gained by the Jnana Yogi, by the Raja Yogi. Now we come to the renunciation of the Raja Yogi, Jnana Yogi, the man who, the devotee who practices path of inquiry. I'm not the body, I'm not the self, the waking state is not real, the dream state is not real, the Lord, only Brahman is real. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. The whole universe which appears so real in the waking state is not real because it is not always there, it is always changing. What is real? Only the pure consciousness, substratum of all existence, which you call Brahman in the Upanishads. That's only reality. Brahma Satyam, Brahman alone is real. Jagan Mitya, the whole universe, what appears in the waking dream state, is unreal Mitya. That's not there. Sri Ramakrishna said the same thing in his teachings. He said, God, Ishvara alone is real. Everything is unreal. That is discrimination. That is how the Jnana Yogi practices is renunciation. The definition of renunciation is given in different ways in different books. Some of you studied Viveka Chudamani, they studied this renunciation, comes early in the book. Here Shankara describes renunciation as the desire to give up all transitory enjoyments ranging from those of an animate body to those of Brahmahood, Brahma the creator being the highest realm of relative existence from observation, etc. Darshana Sramanadibihi. By constantly thinking about the ephemeral, tentative, dependable nature of all worldly enjoyments, the Jnana Yogi, he says, this is unreal. This today it is not, tomorrow it is not there. Why should I worry about it? It's not going to be with me. If you want to know how a Jnana Yogi practices renunciation, let us remind ourselves of the story of Nachiketa. Nachiketa in the Kathopanishad was a young boy, little boy, maybe 8-9 years old. He goes to the abode of death and seeks knowledge of the self. But God of death, Yama, does not want him to give knowledge of self because he's too young. Is he capable? Is he qualified? So he offers many other things as an alternative gift. Yama offers to Nachiketa a large kingdom, makes him a king. He gives him a queen, treasury, lot of money, wealth, horses, elephants, chariots, dance, music, everything, and a long life to enjoy all these things. Take all these things. Don't worry about self-knowledge. You are too young. Nachiketa says, no, sir. Any ordinary person would have taken those things and gone away happily. Not Nachiketa. Nachiketa says, sir, all these things you are offering, they are very temporary. Shobhava martyasya ajant edanta kaitat. O Lord of death, these things that you are offering, queen and kingdom and position and power and money and horses, chariots and music, these are all temporary. Shobhava, they are not going to be there tomorrow. Even if they are there, sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. Nachiketa had this great insight, a little boy, had this great insight and the courage also to tell Yama on his face, the Lord of Death. Even if you give me all these things will not give me happiness forever. Today, when I am very young, my body is strong, young, youthful, I can enjoy music and dance and food and dress and chariot and everything. But after some time, what happens? All those things are there, but my body, sense organs lose the ability to enjoy all of those things. When a person is 20s and 30s, you can eat anything you want. Pizza, ice cream, chocolate, cream cake, whatever you want, you can eat. No, don't have to count calories or anything. But in your 50s and 60s and 70s, everything you have to count. Doctors say don't eat salt, high blood pressure, don't eat chilies, acidity problem, and don't eat so many things. So though the things of enjoyment are available, our ability to enjoy these things will gradually, rapidly diminish and they completely go away. Only thing we can take is medication. So that is not real happiness. Nachiketa refuses those things. So these are all temporary things. Today they give you happiness. Things are available. I'm in good condition. My body is in good condition. I can enjoy, feel happy. But after some time what happens? Separation comes one way or the other. I am all in good condition. Things may be taken away from me. Or generally things are there but I will have to depart. They are intact. But I cannot, I lose my ability to enjoy. That is not true enjoyment. Reasoning that way, Jnana Yogi practices renunciation. It does not seek sensory pleasure, either in this world or in the next world. In the Bhagavad Gita, this, I was chanted this verse many times. The Lord Sri Krishna says, how a Jnana Yogi renounces everything as impermanent and incapable of giving any true happiness. Verse number 22, chapter 5. There Lord Sri Krishna says, Yei samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Buddha means a wise person, buddhiman. A wise person does not seek enjoyment in worldly sense objects and pleasures, because they are highly conditional. For me to be happy in a relationship, the relationship depends upon the other person. If I love somebody and that person does not love me, then where is the happiness in that relationship? Or today both of us may be in love with each other madly, but after some time something happens and I love you comes, I hate you, I hate you. Today they are seeking union in a court of law. We want to be forever together. We want to grow old. We want to be in my life forever. After some time, they go to the same court seeking separation. I don't want you. What happened? There's not true happiness. There's no happiness in such kind of relationships. It is there, but it is there only for a short time. It can go away. It's not dependable. When they leave us, when separation comes, then inevitably unhappiness comes, sadness comes. I have something that I love very dearly, I have it, I'm enjoying it now, I'm happy. When the separation comes, either that thing will leave me or I'll be there, or I will not be there, thing will be there. One way or a separation will come. When the separation comes, dukkha yone evate, a person feels a lot of unhappiness and grief. And adyantavanta, they all have a beginning and an end. Therefore, a wise person does not become attached and expect happiness from anything in this world, be it a relationship or a property or a position or a power or a child or grandchild, whatever. If it is there, be a happy, enjoy, thankful. If it goes there, I knew. Detached. That is detachment of a jnana yogi. Now, we think about the how a bhakta, devotee, practices renunciation. The devotee need not give up his possessions and relationships in a physical sense. A devotee simply regards all possessions and as the Lord's, as his. He simply is a temporary custodian, manager, caretaker servant. A devotee can have a house, a devotee can have a job, can have a family, can have children, grandchildren, can have money, can have all these things in a physical sense. But a devotee practices inward detachment, thinking that all these things are always his. He is the only true owner. For conversation purposes, I can say, this is my house, my job, my money, my child, my grandchild, my job. I can say that for conversation. But I know 100% that none of this is truly mine. That is inward detachment. That is how a true devotee practices detachment. He can keep these things as gift. Why these things have been given to me? Only because I wanted. Nothing comes to us, good or bad, except as we have paved the way for it ourselves. I wanted these things, so he has given it. How long they will stay with me? As long as he pleases. He's the true owner. He's the Lord. When he takes them away, one by one or all together, I'm happy, I'm relieved. Done my part, taken good care of them. You take your things back, I'm free now. I'm relieved. With that sense of great relief and joy, we should be willing to part with anything, whether it is my job or money or family or body or whatever it is. That is the way a devotee practices renunciation. Then, we'll see. When a devotee practices renunciation, it is not a struggle. Oh, I have to give up all these things. Not like that one. A devotee says, this is all his. I'm only the manager. And when he pleases, he gives it to me. When he pleases, he takes it back from me. I'm taking good care of all these things. There's no struggle. Actually, when something leaves us, separation comes, then sense of relief must be there. I've done my part. Fulfill my responsibilities, taken good care of these things. Now you take your things back, I'm free. Thank you for the opportunity to serve me by taking care of your things that you gave me for a position or something. In the meantime, I can say, my house, my Rama, my Hari. This is what I do. I told many times this one. I refer to this room here in the monastery as my room. Swami Atmagyanji very kindly gave me a room to stay here. Downstairs room, so I don't have to climb steps. Very nice room. I stay there. I refer to it as my room. When I say my room, is it my room? I didn't build it. I didn't pay for it. I'm given the privilege of staying there. It's a gift. Anytime he can say, Swami, I can say, if you want the room for somebody, you please vacate the room. I have to go. It may not happen, but it can happen. Suppose some other Indian Swami is posted here. He took over the center. That Indian Swami does not know. He says, oh, yeah, we cannot stay here. We need the room. If somebody you leave, then I have to leave. I cannot say my room. But in the meantime, I can keep referring to it as my room. There's no harm in it. But in my mind, I should practice inward detachment, not my room. Same thing about my dress, my money, my job, my property, my book, my body, whatever. You can say mine. A devotee says, can say mine, but devotee knows nothing is mine. That is inward renunciation, how a devotee practices renunciation. Okay. Let us reflect on these for a couple of minutes.
Sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet, om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from afflictions, may all realize what is noble and auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om, peace. May there be peace in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. May there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.